right here.
This is Smart Radio, AM 700 KBYR.
This is Hometown Talk, the Friday edition with your host, Tom Tierney. The time now, 8:21, the temperature 27 degrees here at Smart Radio, AM 700 KBYR. Here's your host, Tom Tierney.
Justin, we're back. Still trying to get in touch. We've got some contact numbers from these folks from the electric utilities. So maybe
their power went out.
Maybe their power
lights
went out.
Are off.
Our lights are working, so we'll try and hook up with them, folks.
We have a gentleman who was on the line who noticed we were having a problem getting hold of our people for
our electric folks.
Our electric folks today. His name is Ray Craig.
I know, Mr. Craig.
And do you want to speak?
Sure, I'd love to speak to
him. And then in about 6 or 7 minutes, we're going to have Issues That Matter with Carl Gatto today.
All right.
About Social Security. So hang tight, and let's bring Mr. Craig on the air.
Mr. Craig's been a guest of ours before on a different issue, but he's also known far and wide for his expertise in electric. You used to be on the CHUGAC board, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right, Tom. I served two terms and was two terms as board president. And what's happening here? I was interested in hearing a discussion on what's going on.
So was I. Both of these gentlemen from both the utilities agreed to chat with us this morning. We had phone numbers, but we haven't been able to for whatever reason. And I don't see a conspiracy here. I mean, it's easy to see, think that way.
I think one of them was traveling. And we were supposed to get him on his cell phone, and he might not have coverage.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, Ray, tell us. You have other issues that you're dealing with right now, but what's this dust-up all about between MEA and CHUGAC?
Well, the dust-up really is, when you dig right down to it, is who is working towards really lowering the cost of power in these consumer-owned utilities. Alaska, by and large, some 95% of our power companies are owned either by municipalities or co-ops. CHUGAC Electric is a co-op, the largest co-op electric utility in the state. And right now, you're moving into the spring utility elections. Directors are being elected to these boards. Unfortunately, at CHUGAC Electric, today is the filing period close, and it looks like the two incumbents so far may get a cakewalk. But the dust up is over trying to influence efficiencies, operating efficiencies in the utilities. The customers are captive customers. You have no choice on who you buy power from because the state awards a monopoly service franchise. If you live in the MEA territory, you can only buy from MEA. If you live in CHUGAC, you can only buy from CHUGAC. So how do we get these entities to operate in an efficient manner? And our power costs in the rail belt are at about the nation's average, a little bit more than the nation's average. But the question you can ask is, why is that? We live in a resource-rich state.
Cheap natural gas.
Cheap natural gas. The industry has been fairly heavily subsidized with the hydropower projects that were built with the petrodollars in the early and mid-80s. So why are our power costs at about 10 cents and they're going up? There's a lot of talk, especially out of CHUGAC Electric and ML&P, about our aging infrastructure, the need for hundreds of millions of dollars of investment. They're going to the legislature in, I think, a fairy tale world, requesting capital assistance for building new generation. And I don't doubt that that's needed. I just question the method that they're intending to accomplish this. Is it going to yield something at a reasonable cost? I talked about, we're in a resource-rich state. NSTAR Natural Gas is selling natural gas in Anchorage at the lowest retail cost in the nation. And yet our power is using that same natural gas deposit for generation. So why aren't our rates a lot lower than they are?
Well, let's talk about that for a second. When you look at the cost of providing electricity, the overwhelming majority of the costs are fuel costs to generate it. And
it's about half the cost. The largest cost factor of the 10 cents is fuel, but it's still less than half. And the shootout that you're seeing, the ad campaign, the website from MEA, Matanuska Electric, they're doing something different up there. They've had 16, 17 rate reductions in the last 5 years. They've negotiated their IBEW union labor contracts rather than simply rolling them over, rubber stamping them and rolling them over, as what's happened to Chugach. And MEA is unhappy with Chugach. They are a monopoly customer of Chugach for virtually all of their wholesale power, and they're trying to reduce the cost of that. They're trying to put pressure on the Chugach board to be more efficient. MEA now, their costs are less than Chugach, but there's an inherent difference in the utilities in that Chugach has 45 customers for each mile of line it has to maintain, whereas MEA has only 13 or 14.
Yes, one person I was speaking with, trying to get a little background on this issue, and said that that one notion as to what this is about is that they're trying to put pressure on Chugach to get out of this contract so they can begin their own generation facility.
Well, I don't know. That may be the case, but I don't know how effective that's going to be. The most important thing, if you're an electric ratepayer, is to pay attention to these co-op elections that are coming up. It pays for you to spend 10, 15 minutes when that ballot comes. Don't throw it away. 90% of the customers just throw it in the wastebasket, but that's a $100 to $300 decision that you're trashing. That is what many of us feel a bloat factor for every person in the rail belt is, because of inattention to tight and efficient management of these utilities. Your only hope, your only way to shop for lower cost power is to make wise choices on directors in these co-op elections in the spring. And this campaign that's going on, I think, is related to that. The ad copy I've seen out of MEA is seems pretty truthful and on target. Now, they, of course, have had some pretty unfortunate attempts in the past to try to take over Chugach Electric, but I don't see that that's what's happening here. I think it's just trying to raise the attention to these directors, these seven directors that sit on these co-ops. They determine how much each person pays for power. Until we have a market, that's all we got to work with, and political pressure is necessary to lower these rates and get the utilities to operate more efficiently.
Okay, we got to take a break. Could you stick with us? I'll tell you, I got a couple other questions, if you can.
Okay.
It'll be about a five-minute break. Is that
all
okay?
Right. If you can just hold on and listen to the commercials.
This is Hometown Talk on Smart Radio, AM 700 KBYR, with your host, Tom Tierney. The time now, 8:34. The temperature,
KBYR.
The time now, 8:40. The temperature, 27 degrees. Here's your host, Tom Tierney.
Yeah, thank you. We're back. And on the phone with us is Ray Craig, Cute community activist, former Chugach Electric Board member. Ray, when I first saw the stuff going on between the two utilities rearing its head, the first thing that just popped into my mind was, here we go again with IBEW. The IBEW contract with Chugach, I think your assessment is absolutely correct, that they just roll over each year and continue the status quo that got put in place during the golden years that we had up here. If we had an IBEW contract with Chugach that was more reasonable, more in line perhaps with what others, and I'm talking not only salaries, but work rules, and most people don't realize, I know it's the case at MLMP, I don't know about Chugach, IBW folks get double time for overtime, and rather than time and half. But anyway, if we had a more equitable contract there at IBW, how much impact would that have on our electric bills?
It'd have a large impact, because it's not just the salaries that are being paid every year to maintain your lines. When I was board president, the one thing I did was to undertake very detailed benchmarking studies to compare Chugach Electric operating costs with operating costs of similar utilities around the world. And once you get into it, it's not only the wages, you know, and some examples off the 2001 salary list, wages and benefits, instrument and control tech, $167,000, power dispatcher trainee, $430,000 a year in annual wages and benefits. But it's also maybe unnecessary construction, lack of competitive bidding, all of that goes into your debt structure. And you got to remember that an overly costly capital project now, the ratepayers are going to be paying for that for the 20-year period or 30-year period to amortize that debt. So really, you need to look at, well, what are other utilities around the country or the world spending to maintain a mile of line? And some of our benchmarking results that came in, we're showing Chugach was spending $1,000 to maintain annually a mile of line, whereas the average of other co-ops, $200 per mile of line, and the best performers, those that really had tight management, only $100 per line. So you're looking at five factors of 2, 3, 5, even 10, what the best management practices would be.
Well, you raised a point earlier when you were talking about it. It looks like nobody's going to challenge the status quo there. Today's the last day, or was yesterday the final
day? No, today's the last day.
It's not too late, Ray.
No, but they've got to collect 60 valid signatures. If somebody wants to do it, give me a call, 276-2025.
Why is it that people are not energized about this issue? Do they just not care?
Lot of it is suppression of information. I mean, the diversion of the public's attention. And the one thing I like about the MEA ad campaign that's going on now is they are directly talking to the issues. We're a resource-rich state. Why aren't we paying less in power? They're asking people to call the Chugach board. And it's not just for MEA. If they lower those wholesale costs, every Chugach member also pays half of their bill as wholesale costs. And now we have to make sure that there's not an unfair transfer of some costs assigned to wholesale that really should be retail and vice versa. But it's suppression of information. It's not widely known. People know about the high IBEW salaries, but they don't have a good idea of what it really affects them every year on their bill, on their electric bill. It also affects their taxes and their employer, because the municipality, the school district, stores are all paying electric costs, and people just think, oh, it's just my electric bill, $80 a month or so, but it's really more like three times that when you take into account the bloating of your tax bill and stresses on your employer and increases in the cost of goods in stores. And I'm ashamed to say my former utility, Chugach Electric, that benchmarking work that we did, there's $500,000 of studies, roughly, that the ratepayers have paid for. I've insisted that they be released so that the members can understand these costs, and basically been threatened with a lawsuit if I talk about them.
As I look at that, I have a list here of the Chugach Electric Association board members, and I know a couple of them pretty well. Are they just not interested in pursuing this? Are they captive? Are they IBW clones? I mean,
no. I think it's pretty fascinating to look now at the energy for reform has left the board, and they're more concerned now about things like ending term limits. They've raised their pay from $100 a meeting to $250 a meeting. Now that it looks like they're going to put ending board term limits on the ballot this spring. And it's just, I think there's a feeling that reform is just too difficult. Management is not incentivized. It's just more comfortable for management to rubber stamp these contracts. And I think there's got to be an uprising, you know, with electric consumers. The state's economy is changing. They've got to pound on these board members. They've got to pay more attention to it. I would also look at MEA. I mean, why is that utility? What is different out there? Why? How have they been able to reduce rates 16 times? I think they've whacked off about 18% on their distribution charges in the last few years. And Chugach, their reaction to the RCA, the Regulatory Commission, cutting back their desired rate increases was to try to abolish the RCA, and now they're talking about leaving rate regulation. And it's just a completely different attitude. Chugach focusing on raising their rate collections. They want to improve their financial condition, but you can improve your financial condition also by cutting costs.
That's true. Well, let's switch gears here for just a second. What's new with the Pilgrims? And that's an issue that has caught your attention, obviously, and that you've been spending a lot of time with, the land rights folks. Anything new on that front?
The Park Service put out an environmental assessment on their road. Comments were due on Monday. From what I can hear, there's been a flood of comments saying that the Park Service alternative that they gave them, which was winter-only access, and they have to have 12 inches of snow on the ground to use an existing 80-year-old road, and 6 inches of snow on the ground and 12 inches of frost. Well, those are North Slope virgin tundra requirements that that the agencies use on the North Slope for oil industry development in sensitive ice-rich permafrost. So it gives an idea of how the Park Service is saying, yes, you can have access, but giving stipulations that make it impossible to actually use the access.
They speak with forked tongue.
Yeah, but I think the thing that's interesting is that you've also got now a number of people coming out of the woodwork. The Doug Fredericks case, where the Park Service charged the man criminally for a public trail improvement experiment, putting some pallets down on trails up at Solana, and he was dragged into court, fined.
Yeah, he thought he had, as I read the story, he thought he had the approval and the cooperation of these folks to do what he did.
Right. But what that has done is enraged his neighbors and people around the state. They've stepped forward. They've paid his fine. There's a petition that people are signing that this is not a fine against Doug Frederick. It's a fine against everybody that lives in this area and the community at large. And people are realizing that they're not alone. Organization is taking place. And so I think there's a hardship on the individuals, but in the end, we're going to start seeing that we've got to do something about it. ANILCA guarantees that are not being faithfully executed by the federal agencies.
Hey, listen, I appreciate your comments as always. It's good to hear from you, and appreciate you calling in, and have a great weekend. We got to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Okay.
This is Hometown Talk, the Friday edition with Tom Tierney. The time now, 8:51, the temperature 27 degrees. Stay tuned, your Fox News update and your complete forecast. We're back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.